This morning, as the slide suggests, we're talking about brotherly kindness. Oftentimes we hear lessons on this topic, and it's a very practical lesson. The text this morning that we're taking this from is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. Many of us might be familiar with this passage, where Peter calls on us as Christians to add to our faith. We've been going through a study down at Evendale, talking about adding to our faith. Faith plus something makes your faith stronger. It makes your faith better than it was before. You might say, well, why would I want to add to my faith? Well, these things are added to our faith to make us better Christians, to make us more godly, to make us more like Christ. Because Christ displayed all of these things that we need to add to our faith. Sometimes you think about cooking a good meal or cooking a good recipe, and you say, well, I want to add in just this, a little bit more of this particular flavor or this particular ingredient to make it just a little bit better. Think of your faith in that way. God is stirring us up to love and good works this morning and adding to our faith all of these wonderful blessings that He wants us to do. In 2 Peter 1, 3 through 8, it says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this isn't a type of ingredient you just add one at a time. God wants us to work on all of these things all at once. And you might say, well, that's a lot to handle. Well, today we're going to focus on just one of these aspects. Oftentimes we think about genuine kindness and love and how it affects others, how it touches their hearts. It's amazing. Genuine kindness, when it's shown, how it affects other people in a positive way. Sometimes we fail to express love or receive love until the most desperate kind of circumstance sweeps over us. Perhaps it's a death in the family. Perhaps it's a loss of a job or career path. Perhaps it's some catastrophic event, a loss of a home or a loss of a parent or a child. And we think, I need to reach out to that person. I need to show some kindness. Why do we wait to the most desperate circumstance to express kindness or love for that person? We should strive to become more like Jesus, our Master and our Teacher. This passage teaches us to do so, add to our faith the goodness and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness, brotherly kindness and love. How have you been shown true brotherly kindness and love by another Christian? Can you think back on your life when someone showed you kindness? Someone that's reached out to you and helped you when things were going tough. Someone that expressed a sincere love for you. How did that affect you and your thinking? That's an amazing thought to think about. That's the way Jesus affected people. People that were desperate in sin, people that were desperate in their lives, they needed someone like Jesus to affect their thinking, to express brotherly kindness. And it changed their hearts. It changed their entire thinking. Just that little bit of love that Jesus showed them. Just that little bit of brotherly kindness we can share with others can have a tremendous impact. Oftentimes, in this world, we feel alone. We need to spend time connecting with others. You might feel like you're in isolation or feel a loss of connection with your fellow Christians. Perhaps you feel independent of reality. Perhaps you're lost in sin. Perhaps you're in a desperate circumstance and the whole world seems like it's caving in on you. Maybe you work remotely and you feel disconnected from other people. You work alone at home. You work alone in an office. Perhaps you're a child or a young person and you have online gaming and you connect that way, but you don't feel that connection. You don't feel that brotherly kindness in your life. In a time when we have cell phones and email and Facebook and Google, we often are more disconnected than ever in this world. Sometimes there's even a loss of civility. We think about people that hide behind their computer and get in chat rooms and say things to people they would never say to them face to face. They say things that they should say, but they never put it in writing and they never say it because they feel disconnected. Perhaps it's a word of encouragement. Perhaps it's a word of expression of love and desire to help that person, but it is never said. It's never stated. This can creep into our lives and can creep into the church just like it has in the world. We must be intentional about caring for others. It also provides us an opportunity to shine brightly in this world. In this world of disconnection, in this world of working remotely, we can stand apart. We can let our light shine and express love where others express hatred, where others express division, where others create conflict. And you might say, well, we don't live in that society. Really? Look around. Look in the political divisiveness in this country. Look how one side hates the other. Look how one political faction hates or attacks the other side. Brothers and sisters, this is happening even in the church. Members of different political factions attacking and saying hateful things to one another. These things ought not to be so. Instead, we ought to reach across the aisle politically with Christians and express concern, express love, express that desire to help them. It doesn't mean you have to agree. It doesn't mean you have to take their position. It doesn't mean that you're in some way doing something that's evil. What a better world we would have if we would just show love and respect for each other, to show loving kindness. Jesus had enemies. Jesus had political foes that wanted to tear him down. Jesus had political and religious leaders trying to kill him. But even he loved them. Think about it. As the soldiers were nailing his hands into the cross, Jesus said, "Father, please forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing." While Jesus was not saying that he was going to save them, he expressed concern for them. Why must we be wounded before we offer or extend this grace of caring and showing love to our fellow Christians? Love, you see, is the most powerful medicine on earth. You want proof? I understand. For those who know the grace of Christ, who are being spiritually made new, extending this grace, this love to others, should be a reflex action, as automatic as breathing. Brotherly kindness and love are an integral part of being a Christian. We should show love and kindness and caring for others out of instinct, defining who we are. Love is the most powerful medicine. It can heal people emotionally, spiritually, and yes, even physically. You might say, well, what do you mean physically? Well, if you have a love or a passion to help others, and you go and you bind up their wounds, and you put oil on their wounds, you've helped them physically. If someone's poor, someone needs help and attention, and you share with them what you do have, you've helped them physically. So yes, love can heal all wounds. Love can help emotionally, spiritually, and physically. That part we do know. God even met our greatest need, not with correction, not with chastising us, but He met our greatest need with love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." Our greatest need is our sin. God could have easily corrected us, or God could have easily condemned us for our sins, but God instead expressed His love and caring for us as humans, His creation. And so ought we to express that same love and concern for others who are struggling, who are lost without Jesus in their lives, those who are struggling emotionally, who feel the weight of the world on their shoulders, those who have family members that are in turmoil, families that are torn asunder. We need to reach out to them and show that we care. Help them where we can, and bring them to Christ where needed. What is the power of love, both giving and receiving? Perhaps we think of others when they failed us. But this is a lesson for every hearer of the word. Sometimes you may feel hurt or trampled on, or maybe even dismissed. Oh, you Christians, you're just some outlying sect of Jesus. You're just a Bible thumper. Who are you to tell us what to do? Sometimes we need a friend when no one else is even around. God said to add to your faith. That's a personal command. Add to your faith brotherly kindness. The word for brotherly kindness, the Greek word, is Philadelphia. You've often heard of that word. It's used in the context of affection for others. And a healthy family love is natural. There is a sense of connection that grows from a familial type of love. Familial being like your members of your own family. You love your children. You love your spouse. You love your parents. You love your brothers and sisters. That kind of love. That's the kind of brotherly kindness that we're talking about here with our fellow Christians. When our loved ones are sick, perhaps even someone that's dying, no one needs to come and tell you to go and help them or care for them. You immediately put aside all of your personal priorities and you're there for them. You're there at their side. You're there caring for them and administering to them. When you were born by the Spirit into the family of the Heavenly Father, one of the things that emerge is a real, deep, and intimate connection with other people. After all, we are the family of God, the family of Christ. When we see a newborn Christian coming into the fold, we reach out to them. We show that we care for them. We help them and nurture them in teaching them in knowledge and in wisdom and in the Spirit. So also, those who are maturing Christians, we look to them and their example. We look to them for guidance and leadership. Men like Paul, men like Jesus, men like Peter, that we pay attention to how they care for others. We look to their example, how they administer to the needs of others. We take from their example and we apply it to our disastrous lives. John speaks of the authenticity of our faith by having brotherly kindness. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 17, John says, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren." You want to see a defining mark of a Christian? One that passes out of the death struggle with sin and into the life of Jesus Christ is one who has brotherly love and affection. John's saying that's a definition of who a Christian is. The very fabric of Christianity is showing brotherly love and kindness. "He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? John is saying, look, if you see someone in need, and you have resources, and you refuse to help that person, how can you say you love them? You see how practical John is saying that brotherly love and brotherly kindness is? When you know someone is struggling and you have the power to help them, you should go to that brother or that sister and help them in their struggle. Lift them up out of compassion. Teach them when they need teaching. Correct them out of love and compassion when they need correction. Help that struggling person even in the little things. Jesus even said, just even a cup of cold water given in my name is showing brotherly love and compassion. You might say, well, why is this such a big deal for this brotherly kindness thing? Well, Jesus isn't here. He's here spiritually. He's here among us, and he dwells in us. We are at his direction. We are Christ's hands, his mouth, and yes, even financial resources, our wallets. Christ came in the flesh out of love for us to die on the cross. Today, Christ makes himself known to us and to others by working through us. Imagine if 10 million Christians working for Christ and the impact that God intended. You might say, well, are there really 10 million Christians? Well, I would say throughout history there probably was. What if there was 100 million Christians showing brotherly love and compassion? What a better world this would be. What about 1 billion Christians? Could you imagine 1 billion Christians in this world showing love and compassion? It would change the face of society. It would change the face of this nation. If Christ is magnified and multiplied by our brotherly kindness to the entire world. And you might say, that seems impossible. Is it? Jesus and his disciples turned the whole world upside down because they loved other people. They showed compassion for the sinner. They showed compassion to the ones that needed teaching. They helped the ones that were sick and the ones that were poor and the ones that had no strength. Those are the ones Jesus focused on. Those are the ones his disciples and his apostles focused on helping. And you know what they did? They taught them to do likewise to others. To teach, to correct, to help, to show compassion. And yes, the entire world heard about who Jesus was and the type of character and the type of brotherly love Jesus taught. And yes, it did change the face of the world. And it is still changing the world today. So I ask you, my fellow Christians, what does Jesus look like in you? Is his amazing love on display in your deeds, in your actions, and in your words? John was clear, this isn't about sentiment. Brotherly kindness is very practical, shown by involvement and investing in others' interest, investing in their needs, having companionship with them, spending time with them. Compassion starts with your heart and your mind. It's intentional. You're looking for ways to help. You're looking for ways to lift up. You're lifting for ways to rebuild people's lives that are destroyed by their circumstance and that are without Christ. Or perhaps they are with Christ and their life is still a mess. Caring for the needs of others is just part of who we are as Christians. This is true inside the church, to the stranger, to the lost, to the sick, those in need. It is for those in this city, in this area, in this county, in this state, and around the world. It's not specific to just Judea in the time of Jesus. It's not specific to Corinth where Paul was trying to help them. No, it is true everywhere Christians are, this love and compassion for others. Brotherly kindness must be sincere. We must not merely switch it on and switch it off like a politician does or an entertainer. This pretend sincerity of caring for others. People who have genuine affection and caring for others learn how to be interested in every person and connect with them. Have you ever seen or observed someone that's caring and loving? It's notable, isn't it? You know that person is a very loving and caring person. Always looking out, always helping, always carrying people's load and helping them. We know who those kind of people are. We should strive to be like their example. People like Jesus and Paul and Peter, and the list goes on in this congregation. We connect with others on a personal level. We cultivate the love for one another in so many ways that I can't even describe them all. Our time, our patience, and a spirit of giving. It takes a lot of patience to help people. It takes a lot of patience to learn what people need. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of intentional thought. It takes deeds to show sincerity. It takes love and compassion to show sincerity. It takes time and patience to show sincerity. These aren't just words that you say to someone, "I love you." These aren't words that you just say to someone and say, "Well, I want to have compassion on you." You show it. You have those deeds of compassion. Those thoughts are wonderful. Those thoughts are belonging to a Christian, but they do require action. They do require us to take action. This isn't about getting others to like us or follow us on Facebook or whatever site you want to pick. That's not what this is about. That would be being hypocritical to say, "Well, I just want to get more followers by showing brotherly love or compassion." That's hypocritical. That's not what Jesus did. I don't see Jesus on a Facebook or in the papers, if you will, of Jesus' day saying, "Look at all these great things that I did," so that people would follow him. No, word spread like wildfire. Why did word spread of Jesus and his teaching? Because he was sincere and his actions showed his compassion. Jesus first loved us, then gave his life for us. You see the order of things? The compassion and love for others. Then Jesus' actions, his deeds, showed his compassion and his love for us. We must learn the importance of cultivating the highest love of all God taught us in the way that he loved us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, which is also up on the board. 1 John 4:19, "We love because he first loved us." In verses 9 through 12 of 1 John 4, it adds this: "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." Does that mean to say that you're going to be perfect at brotherly compassion? Does that mean that you're going to have this perfect kind of highest form of love that Jesus displayed? Starting out, maybe not. This takes time to hone. It takes time to develop that brotherly kindness in practice and in deed, but in heart and in sincerity. He might say, "Well, I love my brothers and my sisters. I don't have a problem with brotherly love. This isn't an issue." I encourage you to spread that type of brotherly love. Not that thought. Not that you have achieved or arrived there, but that you can do more by teaching others. Helping others to see and understand how brotherly love and compassion affects others. How it draws them to Christ. How it shows them the love of Christ. Because that's what John is saying. Jesus first loved us. We also ought to love others. We should reflect that kind of love because it draws people to Christ. That sincere form of brotherly kindness. That sincere form of love that shows the world who we are as Christians, as followers of Christ, the one who had brotherly love, the one who had brotherly compassion on us. We also show toward others, and the world observes. Our neighbors, our relatives, our co-workers observe our brotherly kindness. They see our deeds and they understand our compassion as Christians. What does God teach us about love? We also ought to grow in love and good works. We also ought to stir one another up for love and good works. That's what the Bible tells us. The love that we must develop is a love that reaches out to another based on their needs, not our needs. It is a love that pays the price to sustain the relationship when there is little or no love reciprocated. You might say, well, why would I help brother so-and-so? He never helps others. Why would I help sister so-and-so? They're the worst kind of people. Well, you know what? We were once the worst kind of people. And someone showed brotherly love for us when they taught us the gospel. And they showed us the love and respect that Jesus has for us as individuals, as humans, putting aside our sin and showing love for the sinner. Showing the love for the person that whose life is a disaster. Showing love and compassion for the one that's down in the doldrums and the worst kind of circumstance. That's the perfect kind of person to show brotherly love and kindness to. After all, Jesus spent most of his time here on earth with the sinners. Jesus spent most of his time on the earth helping and healing the sick, the lost, the ones that had maimed features and their physical appearance was ugly. Jesus spent time with those people. Prostitutes. Tax collectors. They're the worst, let me tell you. Tax collectors. By the way, my profession is a CPA. I do taxes. That's the kind of people Jesus loved. The people like us. People that need His love in our lives. That's the people that Jesus spent time with pretty much every minute here on earth. Love transforms us and it transforms others. It is a love that overcomes evil and transforms a broken life into a whole one. When we become a Christian, God forgave our sins. A form of love is forgiveness. He transformed us into a new creature in Christ, capable of loving others just like He loved us. You see that transforming power of love? Jesus transformed your life and my life. He can use that same love to transform others around you and their lives. From one that's broken, one that's disconnected, one that doesn't care about others, into a life that is whole in Christ, one that loves and respects authority, one that loves and connects with others. That's the kind of transforming power of this love. We have to be willing to forgive others. Perhaps they've done wrong to us. Perhaps they've even persecuted us or treated us harshly at work or done things and said things about us that are despicable but are untrue. We have to be willing to forgive them. Looking past their deeds and look at their heart. Look at their soul as something of value to God. Look at their mind as something that God can use in His kingdom. That doesn't mean everybody's going to listen. That doesn't mean everybody's going to respond to the love of Christ. That doesn't mean that everyone you show brotherly kindness to is going to be transformed. But that is who we are by nature. Certainly Jesus, who showed brotherly love to others, didn't transform everybody into a Christian. But the impact that he had on the nation of Israel and the world, frankly, was super power. That is the kind of transforming love Jesus had on the Jewish nation as well as the rest of the world. You might say, well, people, when I love those people, they never love me back. They never reach out and see how they can help me. If that's your motivation, that's the wrong kind of motivation. You shouldn't be in it for yourself to get love from others. Even those who resist love or cast your love aside by living in the center of Christ's love ourselves, Jesus will love you because of how you love others. Not trying to gain their love, not trying to gain their respect, but just because you love them. This type of love transforms others into a love of Christ-centered living. You want to know how you can change your circumstances, how you can help others to see Jesus and the love that He has? Love them first, even though they never loved you. Show them compassion and sympathy, even though they may hate you or hate that you're a Christian. Some of the most wonderful Christians used to hate and terrorize and kill Christians. Men like Paul. He terrorized the church. He persecuted people to the death, arresting them and dragging them back to Jerusalem to be killed. Men like Stephen, who was stoned to death while he guarded their coats of the ones throwing the rocks at Stephen. Jesus' love transformed Paul into one of the most effective apostles and writers in the New Testament church. If he can do that with a man like Paul, imagine what he can do with the love through you towards others, and how Jesus' love can transform others to loving God. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 and 19, it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love." You want to know who God is? You want to know how to be more like God? Well, God is love. "And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world." Verse 19, "We love him because he first loved us." That's a lot of words of love, isn't it? We as Christians, we may not be real comfortable with that concept of brotherly kindness and love. So many times we hear, "Thou shalt not," when we should be saying, "God loves you. God is concerned for your soul. And I love you. And I am concerned for your soul." Why won't you listen to one who cares about you physically, emotionally, and spiritually? And I can help you in all of those things. You see how effective that can be? Versus someone that just comes out and blasts people or condemns. "You're going to hell because..." Nobody wants to hear that. That's an ineffective way to share the gospel. An effective way is like Jesus, who had compassion, who showed his love, who helped others, even in the smallest ways. They respected Jesus. They loved him back because he loved them. Christians transform one life at a time through the power of love. This isn't some miracle-raising type of thought. You're not going to miraculously change people just because you show love to one person. No, you must show love all the time. You must be consistent with that love and your sincerity. Your actions must support your love and compassion. Then people will see Jesus in you and will respect what you are trying to tell them and how you are going about it. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40 says, "And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your heart. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." We call that the golden rule. I put that in there in the slide because it's a commandment to love others. It's the second greatest command that Jesus said himself, upon these two, all the law and the prophets hang. All the law and the prophets are centered on these two commandments. And the second one is what we're focused on today, brotherly love and kindness, loving your neighbor as yourself. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and verses 10 through 11, God states, "We will be fruitful in the knowledge of Christ." We read this passage earlier. "And to give diligence to make your calling and election sure so that we never fall." If you love others and you practice that love consistently through every day, through every week in your life, God is promising you, you will not fall from His grace. Because your character, your instinct, and your dwelling in God and in Christ, you're not capable of sin. Like we talked about in the Bible class. If you're practicing these things and making them habits and making them part of your daily life and helping others and showing brotherly love and compassion, God is going to show love and brotherly kindness to us on the day of judgment. He's going to see our deeds and our sincerity and know that in our hearts and love and pursuit of God has been our focus. It's been our number one priority. And that will not go unnoticed with God. That's what he's promising there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and verses 10 through 11. God is saying mature character as a Christian makes us a productive disciple that honors and respects our Lord. Mature character as a Christian establishes us so that we do not fall away from the grace of God. That mature character is adding to our faith brotherly kindness. You see all those things that are listed there to add to our faith, that makes us a more mature Christian. Mature character as a Christian builds us a rich eternal reward that God Himself will present to us when we come into His presence on the day of judgment. Not because we've done some great thing, some one-time action, but because we put these principles in place in our lives, brotherly kindness in our faith towards God. If you love Jesus, why not make Him your King this morning? Why not be baptized into Jesus and put on Jesus? Why not respond to the love of Jesus Christ that He has for every sinner? If you are a Christian and have sinned, why not come back to Jesus' love? Why not come back repenting of your sins? And we can pray with you and pray for you for forgiveness. If you're in any way subject to the gospel call, I invite you to come forward as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.